and a slice of peach pie. Cardenas had told him about her little deception, of course. She had to step on his foot, under the table, only 3 times before he caught her meaning. "Hey, Nadia, you're looking terrific," he said, grinning at Wonderly. "You been working out or something?"
"Something,"
Wonderly answered, beaming at Cardenas. 28 December 2095. Storage Building. Holly led Nadia Wonderly down the high-ceiling corridor of the storage facility. On either side of them, the walls were blank, except for long strings of numbers on each closed and locked door. Strip lamps along the ceiling lit the corridor brightly, but to Wonderly, the place seemed dusty, gritty from disuse, and eerily quiet.
"So who are you going with to the New Year's Eve bash?" Holly asked, as they prowled along the corridor.
"One of the computer techies," Wonderly replied cheerfully.
"Daoud Habib."
Holly felt impressed. "He's the head of Urbane's computer team, from the University of British Columbia."
"You know him?"
Wonderly asked, surprised. "Only from the human resources files."
"Oh. He's a Muslim."
"But he's no chauvinist," Wonderly countered immediately.
"He's really kind of a sweet guy."
They walked on through the silent, dusty corridor. Wonderly eyed Holly's lean, long-legged figure. "Bet she's never had to use a treadmill in her life," she said to herself. Still, though, her own figure was looking better every day, thanks to Cardenas's nanos, she thought. And she was taking the enzyme injections to make her skin turn golden, just like everybody else, so she wouldn't look so pasty. Almost everybody else, she realized. Holly doesn't need enzymes. Her skin's a wonderful toasty brown already. "It's like a maze down here," Wonderly murmured, as Holly walked assuredly beside her. "Just down another 2 cross corridors, and then we turn left. 2 doors in, that's it." Clear admiration showed on Wonderly's dimpled face.
"You've got it memorized?"
Holly smiled gently. "Got it all memorized, Nadia. The whole layout. Everything and everybody in the habitat."
"Memorized?
I'm a reborn Nadia. Hope that doesn't bother you." Wonderly's eyes widened slightly.
"Cryonics? How long were you in?"
"A little over 20 years. But I thought reborn's memories were pretty much wiped out when they're revived."
Nodding, Holly replied.
"Yep. I don't remember anything from my first life. No, maybe a snatch of something or other, but no connected memories."
"Then how come..."
"The rehab team gave me a lot of RNA treatments and memory boosters. Didn't work, far as remembering my first life's concerned, but it surely gave me a near-perfect memory now. I see something once, and I've got it forever, pretty near."
"Eidetic," Wonderly murmured.
"That's what the psychs call it, yeah." They turned at a cross corridor and stopped before the second door on their left.
"This is it," said Holly, so flatly certain that Wonderly didn't question her.
"Manny has the combination," she added, peering at the keyboard lock set into the door.
"He ought to be here," said Wonderly, glancing at her wristwatch. "We said 9:30.
Holly grinned.
"He probably got lost."
The overhead lights flickered once, twice, then quit altogether, plunging them into total darkness. Wonderly's breath caught in her throat, but before either of them could say a word, the lights came on again at full brightness. Wonderly's brows knit as she glanced up at the ceiling.
"They shouldn't do that," she said.
"Whatever it is that Eberly wants from me," thought Ilya Tymoshenko as he walked from his apartment building to the administrative offices, "it can't be very urgent. Instead of meeting me last evening after my shift, he set the meeting for this morning." Tymoshenko walked with his shoulders hunched, his head thrust slightly forward, in a slightly rolling gait like an old-time sailor. He looked burly, aggressive, and while he was ordinarily as quiet and withdrawn as any introspective engineer, when he drank too much he became loudly combative. He was taller than he seemed at first glance, and his limbs were long and gangling. His face bore such an intense expression of skepticism that most people, on first meeting him, pegged him as a haughty know-it-all. His dark brown hair was thick and wiry, his stubborn chin usually bristly. It wasn't until you looked into his wolf-gray eyes that you saw what a tormented soul he actually was. The administrative offices were quiet, a picture of calm, unhurried bureaucrats going about their leisurely business with the least possible amount of actual effort. "Drones," Timoshenko snorted silently as he strode through the aisle that separated their desks. "More of them at the coffee machine than at their workstations," he noticed disdainfully. "At least there are only a handful of them," he saw. "Back in St. Petersburg, every government office had swarms of drones lazing around, doing their best to avoid exerting themselves. Plus the holy disciples' psalm singers hanging around to make certain nobody broke any of their moral rules." "Working hard wasn't one of their rules," Timoshenko growled to himself. "Taking a salary for doing as little as possible didn't break any of their commandments." He strode past their desks without asking for help, knowing that if he did, they'd make him wait just to show their authority. He knew where Eberle's office was. You could see his door with his name on it back at the rear of this drone's bullpen. "Sir," called one of the drones, a woman. "Sir, you can't go in without being announced." She was dressed in a brown tunic and darker slacks, just like all the others, men and women. Timoshenko, wearing the one-piece coveralls of his profession, walked right past her with a gruff, "Eberle's expecting me." "But you've got to be announced," the woman insisted as he brushed by her. All the others froze where they were. No one moved to stop him. "You can't..." Timoshenko rapped on Eberle's door once and slid it open. Eberle, behind his desk, looked surprised for an instant, then quickly hid it with a forced smile. "Exactly on time," he said. "Please come in and take a chair." Timoshenko went to the pair of cold-looking chrome and leather chairs in front of the desk and sat in one. He heard the door slide shut behind him. Whether one of the drones closed it or Eberle did it with a remote control, he didn't know. Nor did he care. "You wanted to see me," he said. "Here I am." Eberle's smile showed teeth. "You're very punctual." "I'm an engineer. In my business, we try to be exact." "Yes, I see. So, the reason I asked to see you is about your being an engineer. As I understand it, there's not much to do in the navigation center anymore." Timoshenko grunted. "That's why I volunteered to help Urbain's people. Turns out there's not much to do there, either, except wonder what's gone wrong with his probe." "So you're not doing much useful work, then?" "There's not much to do." "Do you fill in the time with planning for the next election campaign?" Timoshenko felt truly surprised at that. "The next election?" "Not me. Once was enough. You won, I lost. That's the end of my political career." Eberle steepled his fingers in front of his face and studied Timoshenko for a few moments, as if trying to determine if he were telling the truth. "No hard feelings about losing, then?" he asked. "To tell the truth, I was relieved. I'm not a boss, and I don't want to be a boss. But you're a very talented engineer, and we're not using your abilities to their fullest." Timoshenko thought, "Here it comes, whatever it is that he wants from me." "How would you like to head the maintenance department?" Eberle asked, turning on his smile again. "The janitors?" "Come now, you know the maintenance team is responsible for the operational integrity of this entire habitat. It's an important position, much more important than filling in at one of Urbain's consoles." Nodding warily, Timoshenko reluctantly agreed. "Maintenance is a big job, true enough. Now that we're in orbit around Saturn," Eberle said, "the maintenance team has the responsibility for keeping the habitat's outer shell in good condition." "Abrasion from the ring particles," Timoshenko muttered. "Ah, you're aware of the problem." "It's not that big of a problem. The abrasion rate is well within the scale that was calculated before we left Earth. Yes, but it still requires constant vigilance.